Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
I'm gonna say right now, I'm going to say it's going to make a bag of money. I'm also going to say it's going to be a critical bomb.
I'm going to go with makes money and critically light.
All right, so you're so double hit.
Hit is maybe too strong a word. We're just looking for above average.
All right, so that's I've just put two arrows because I've forgotten what my notes actually mean. All these letters.
F means financial. C means critical.
Okay, so financial good, critical good. I've got makes money, and then B for bomb.
No wonder you can't figure out later on.
Next movie.
Were we supposed to do that for the movies, the little movies that we didn't have trailers for? Like, were we supposed to do that for Neighbors?
No.
Okay.
No, but if you want to throw one in later in the challenge round, you can say, you know, Zeph, I'm going to sit here and tell you that Neighbors is going to be the biggest comedy of the summer. And then I will mark it down, and you will still be judged on it accordingly.
All right.
Ah, the sound of two men of indeterminate middle age getting slightly confused by what they're doing. This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, and I'm Zeph. And this is one of those occasions when I am alone in the new basement studios by the lake. My partner Eric is off. He's preparing for our annual summer movie two-part special preview show, and that will be released very, very soon. Now, as is our custom, in that special, we'll take a look at what's going to be on the big screen this summer. We'll make some predictions as to what will be a hit and what will be well-reviewed, at least well-reviewed by the mainstream media. Now, as we'll explain, or disclaim, we base our predictions on the trailers and our own extensive knowledge of cinema. So right there, what else do you need? Unconvinced? Well, to whet your appetite, this show is a little highlight special of some of our preview shows from over the years. Not so much an Atlantic Voice Summer Movie Preview, more a Atlantic Voice Summer Movie Preview Review, if you see where I'm coming from. If 2015 is going to be the first time that you're using us as your summer film watching guide, well, let us explain exactly what we do.
Okay.
Next movie, next, like,
Winter July.
One of the things we're doing, if you haven't listened to part one, is we're giving things thumbs up, thumbs down, expectations in terms of critical and financial success.
Which to me is more than a thumbs up, thumbs down. I remember those two Joes, both of them have passed away. Well, no, the third guy who replaced the first guy, he's still alive. To me, the whole notion of I give the movie a thumbs up and I give the movies a thumb down, that is very lazy, and any moron can do that. Anyone can go, yeah, I'm giving it a thumbs up. Our rankings are, is this going to be critically acclaimed? Is this going to make money?
Saying yes or no. We're not being like you tried to get away with, oh, this will be okay with the critics. No. We're going to say critics good, critics bad, financial good, financial bad.
What I'm trying to say is here on the Atlantic Voice Podcast, you get more than just I'm giving that a thumbs up. You get some real analysis. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
have you got that? All right, so let's give you an example of how it works. From 2013, we'll discuss the Will Smith sci-fi film After Earth, where I present my theory as to the relationship between actors, their films, and the trailers.
Right, the next movie, which I feel like we're back to sci-fi now again, since that's the big thing, but this movie is a little weird. Of course, this isn't much of an intro for you, so we'll have to talk over this until we start doing so.
We know it's got action.
It doesn't really tell anybody anything.
Okay, well, yeah, we're playing movie trailers on the radio. Right. Seriously. Expectations.
The ones with voiceovers are a lot easier. That one was just a collection. Here we go.
Two confirmed survivors. Son, this is not training. This is a class one quarantined planet. The threats we will be facing are real.
I think it's taking too long to get to the main catch line, which they put right on
everything
the post.
Everything on this planet has evolved to kill humans. Every single decision.
It's taking too long. But anyway, right, so what's the main line to this one is like danger is real, fear is a choice, you know, kind of thing. Like, oh, you know, you have to deal with dangers, but fear is just you choosing to be afraid. It's After Earth, which is with Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith from Karate Kid remake.
Oh, yeah. You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see that. No.
Okay. So they shipwreck or space wreck or whatever you'd say, and the two of them end up stranded on Earth. Actually, it's not Earth, but maybe it's Earth later on or something like that. There's lots of big bad animals chasing them around and things like that.
I've seen the trailer. The trailer, actually, as most trailers do, make the movie look very exciting. But I have a rule about Will Smith movies.
But we should point out it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
It's M. Night Shyamalan, and I'm going to throw him in it as well. I have a rule about both Will Smith movies and M. Night Shyamalan movies. The trailers always look brilliant. You go and see the movie and you go, that kind of sucked. Whereas, and I'm now going to pick another random movie star, Cuba Gooding Jr. for years. The trailers of his films are terrible. You watch the film and you go, that was a great movie.
Yeah, well, he's a better actor, right?
Cuba Gooding Jr. is like the reverse doppelganger of Will Smith.
Well, I saw this movie...
M. Night Shyamalan now, he needs a hit because his last couple of movies bombed. And I do worry with him. He's done one trick really, really well.
This is my pick to bomb... to really underperform. I mean, it may not have been that expensive. But, I'm sure it's like 100% computers.
But Will Smith movies tend to do very well. Will Smith has a very loyal following.
Yeah. They must be relying on that, relying on the whole thing of it as being with his son. But I looked, maybe it was cheap because of the fact it doesn't appear to have any other actors.
Didn't his son have a hit record?
Wasn't his daughter.
His daughter?
I whipped my hair around.
Yeah. Was that his daughter?
Yeah, I think it was his daughter. So, you know, I guess the daughter's doing music. His son's going to do movies. But I looked on IMDb because based on the trailer and the entire thing of the plot, I don't see any other actors in the movie. There only seem to be these two people in the entire movie. And there are other actors listed, no names that were of note, but I can't tell if there's actually anybody else in the thing. Maybe there's a little preview stage or something like that.
This is an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Let me tell you what happens. These two crash on the planet. They're chased by everyone. Danger isn't real. Fear is a choice. You're already giving it away. As is the case in all M. Night Shyamalan movies, at the end you're going to go, oh, it was something different entirely. So they're going to wake up and it was all a dream, or they're going to wake up and realize that they never crashed and they weren't on Earth, because that's what happened in
Really,
Sixth Sense.
Jaden is his dad or something.
Yeah,
like
that's what happened in Sixth Sense. That's what happened in the one with the village. Who was in it? Joaquin Phoenix is in it, and Ron Howard's daughter is in it. I think it's called The Village, which I enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, Ron Howard's daughter was in two different movies. There was not M. Night Shyamalan, the one in the water with the lake, I thought was actually good.
So. All these M. Night Shyamalan movies are kind of the same. There's going to be a big twist right at the end where you're going to go, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction for that film.
Well, here's the other thing.
And I'm going to go with you that on Rotten Tomatoes... less than 65%. It's still going to make decent money because Will Smith has a following.
Will Smith will be interesting. So the other thing I want to mention about this movie is I saw a story where Will Smith was talking about, you know, they were filming this movie in the jungles and his son was climbing these ropes and looked over to the right and there was a monkey there and it was this big moment and I realized this entire thing was a junket. Like, this was a way for him and his son
to go to
the jungles and go on a holiday and film a movie in the meantime. And he's telling the story and I'm like, this is crazy. So we've got to all pay this money so that you could go off to Nicaragua or some country to do like special rock climbing or something like that. But I'm not going to see this movie.
All right, so thumbs down off
Yep.
When you're just watching trailers, you have to glean what you can from those 2 minutes, whatever it is that the plot might be. From the same year, we previewed a film called The Purge, a horror thriller that had something to do with criminals on the rampage, I think, I'm not sure. Eric, on the other hand, was sure that films, even sci-fi films, have to have some logic in their setup.
I got another one that's coming up as a thumbs down, just a preview here for you. I don't know what you would think about this movie. I don't usually think about these being your types of movies, but...
Oh, no. I'm into this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
So, once again, it's one of those ones with a lot of music and pictures that are doing no good for the people who are actually listening in, but I think at some point they have a voice over here, too.
But sounds atmospheric.
Tonight allows people a release for all the hatred
and violence if they keep up inside them.
Why don't you guys kill someone tonight?
So that all sounds a little weird. This is The Purge, which is...
Looking forward to this movie.
Oh, boy. Well, good. No, I am. We're going to have a nice little conflict here, because the premise of this movie is that in the future America, we have solved crime. We're down to 1.1%. Relatively near future, yeah, it looks.
Like people are wearing regular clothes.
Apparently the solution is once a year, for a night, everybody can do any crime they want to and do whatever they want to. This has to be one of the dumbest premises for a movie I've ever heard. Like, I mean, it's so clearly, like, an excuse for a movie. Like, you know, like, how do we bring everybody into a mass conflict? Well, what if crime was legal for one night? The idea that,
all,
like...
All movies are an excuse for a movie.
Yeah, but it's just... The notion that this would ever happen as a setup, like, this is worse than sci-fi, because there's no chance that at any time in America... What's that?
But this is sci-fi.
Not really.
Yeah, this is like... I see this movie, it's not done by David Fincher, but I feel it in the way that I feel some of those off-the-wall David Fincher movies, like The Game and stuff like that, where it's all kind of different and... And I like that. We have a summer of sci-fi of people on rocket ships. So why not have a thriller that has some sci-fi ideas? I'm going to throw you another movie from back in the 70s that I've been talking about a lot in conversation for a completely different reason. Soylent Green, which is based on that old Ray Bradbury novel with, yeah, Charlton Heston, set in the future. Obviously, it's like a 1970s movie, so visually and tempo-wise, it's not like a modern-day blockbuster. But it's a film set in the future with some sci-fi ideas about how people interact with each other, mm-hmm, in the future. I see Purge as from the same tree.
Nah.
I'm going with The Purge. And I like Ethan Hawke. I like Lena Headey. I think she's a...
Lena Headey. Yeah,
she's an English actress. She was in...
Heavily known right now for Game of Thrones. She plays...
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't watch that. She was the villain in the Judge Dredd movie. With Carl Urban, not the one with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, right, the more recent one, which actually got pretty decent reviews.
Yes.
So, the guy who's the writer and director, I'll try to see if there's anything that's interesting to give us some clue. Nah, he's got nothing really on his resume. Assault on Precinct 13, did the screenplay on that one.
But, with Ethan Hawke.
But that was, like, at least that, see, that's a perfect example of a movie that, okay, you put us into a 12-hour episode that people have to get through where there was something of a logical precedent. Like, this is such, I think it's really lazy writing to create this thing to basically say, oh, why can't we just have a mass event that doesn't involve this premise of, because it solves crime the rest of the year, nobody will commit any more crime because once a year they can take out their frustrations and everything else will be fine.
Why is it any different from Logan's Run where everyone has to die at 30? You can go, well, that's fake that they've just put in some rule that everyone dies at 30, and because then that's an excuse for a chase movie, because that's what Logan's Run is. It's science fiction. Yeah,
Logan's Run is a much bigger leap in time, and so, you know, it's easier to have these twists. The fact that they made this a near... You know, here's another why it's lazy. Like, you could have come up with this story as a way off in the future, but they didn't want to do the expensive sets and things like that. They wanted to do it like today. Like, there
Why not just have a
riot or something like that? Why do we have to have this thing where, like, everybody plans for this thing? Like, do you think in the next couple of years, do you think they're going to pass this law that might have... I mean, it's actually too fanciful to even be science fiction. Like, science fiction has some grounding. In fact, there is no basis in fact for this whatsoever.
Do you like The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, that was dumb, too.
Okay. See, this is your problem now. You talk a big game as a science fiction fan, and yet you are a prejudicial science fiction fan, because some science fiction is good for you, but then you will turn up your nose as other science fiction.
That's true. I turn up my nose at science fiction that has no basis in science.
But it has a basis in fiction.
Sure, it's everything.
I'm going to give everything a chance if it comes to me with a different concept.
All right. Unfortunately, I think this one's probably going to make money.
See, I don't actually think it will bomb, but I think it will get quite good reviews. I think that's the kind of movie that comes out the same weekend.
You think it's going to get good reviews?
I think it will, yeah.
More to lock that this has like 20%, I'm going to say, sub 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, I'm writing it down.
Are we writing some of these things
down? Well, no, we can just go back and listen.
Yeah, well, then we
don't. I don't need to take notes. We record this.
I'm writing it down because otherwise I'll forget, and I'll have to, like, listen to a whole recording to get through the thing.
All right.
Next film. Let's see.
A basis in fiction. I know too often a lot of what I say has a basis in fiction. It also appears my memory works the same way too, which is why, as you heard said right there, my partner and I keep track of our predictions so that later in the year we can declare a winner. Now, our summer movie preview is supposed to be a guide for you, our listeners, but it's the competition between my partner and I, well, it can start to get in the way of our efforts to provide a public service. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult, keeping track of where we both stand, but somehow it's the writing it down, well, it seems to be more of a challenge than one would think. Here's a snippet from last year's preview as we make our prognostications on the Scarlett Johansson film, Lucy.
So what are you saying for Lucy? Let me go first. Did we do a movie after Galaxy? Or did I just ramble on about something for a few moments?
I think we rambled on about Expendables and things like that. So.
Lucy. Lucy is going to bomb. It's a double bomb.
Really?
Double bomb. I think by the time you get to the end of the summer, because it's August is now, so the end of the season. It's a mid-August release. I am not convinced.
It's the 8th, the middle of August?
Okay.
Seems like an early August.
I am not convinced that Scarlett Johansson, I do think, I don't mean this in any way other than just saying it, I think the bar is slightly higher for female action leads. I think the audience either take to them or they don't. I'm not sure people are ready to take to Scarlett Johansson as an action movie lead.
Sure. And it is she's going to get her own movie from the Avengers thing too, right? She's been doing all the action stuff in there.
Yeah, but that's not Scarlett Johansson. That's the character in the Avengers. I mean that though. In the same way, it doesn't really matter who plays Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man. Yeah. Whoever she's playing in the Avengers, that's who she's playing. Here, this is a Scarlett Johansson movie. I'm not sure a Scarlett Johansson action movie brings in the crowd. I'm just not convinced it's going to bring in the crowd. And I also think by the time you get to the summer, I think by this point in the summer, the critics are starting to get a bit mad at just reviewing the same old thing.
And I think it does run a reasonable possibility of being a bad review, but I think it will make money.
I do not think it will make money. So you're
it's got Morgan Freeman in it, too. Money, I mean, everybody loves everything
bad
with Morgan
review.
Freeman. Yeah.
I just, yeah, I don't know.
There's no way you're going to be, you just did that one as MM.
Make money.
BR, bad review. There's no, like, you know what's going to happen is you're going to translate all these acronyms in your favor later on.
No, let me explain to our listeners. At the start of the last show,
when are not your friend.
When we started the first part of this show, we decided we were going to keep track of our predictions for these films. And I have a sheet of paper with two columns on it, one with Eric's initial at the top, and the other one with my initial at the top. And within them, I fill in the letters of what I think the films are going to do. The first letter, or first two letters, indicates what the film is going to do financially. The second pair of letters, or second letter, denotes what the film is going to do critically.
So this one here, it says TT. What does that mean?
What's the movie again? I can't read my writing for the movie. I'll have to come back later in the note. Well, I can't read what movie that is, so that's a bit unfair.
It doesn't matter what movie it is, right? What's TT mean?
Well, I'll know what it is when I know the movie.
Because you'll just revise your reviews.
Let me go back to what that movie is at the start of July. What was the first movie we talked about this show?
Hercules.
I mean, I said it was going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, but what does TT mean?
Well, I don't know, but that means it's going to be a nightmare.
Like, let's just to read off what we've got here. On the first page, we were pretty organized. FYC, no. Financial yes. Critical no.
No.
Well, what does CS mean?
Critical sucks.
Okay. Then we go down a couple rows, and suddenly now it's F arrow up, C arrow up, and then on the right hand side for you it says MB.
What's the movie?
I don't know. What does that say?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, this has gone perfectly.
The whole point is it's a code.
At least I know you. A year from now, you'll be talking about how you went over them and you were right all the time.
That's Transformers.
Okay, and what does MB mean?
Make money, bomb critically.
Okay, all right. Have you figured out TT on the next page yet?
No, but it's like a code. Is that you need the key code, and then everything else makes sense. It's a primer. Have you ever seen Contact?
Yeah.
With Jodie Foster, and they're looking at all the pages, and they can't figure out how it works, and then they find the one page that makes all the pages work. That's how it works. It works as like a.
Yeah, but where's the page that makes it all work? There's no other pages. We just have these two pages.
I know, but the name of the movie is the key to the code. You can't just look at the code and go, oh, I know what he's saying. You have to see the movie and then you go, oh, I see. That's what he's saying. That way it means that these results are sacrosanct until we do our results like total up. No one can get in there and mess with the results. No one can go in there and mess with our reviews because they can't understand them.
All right, if you say so.
And you know you watch too much TV when you're using Jodie Foster sci-fi films to explain your use of grammar. Anyway, for all our tomfoolery, we'd like to believe that we do have something substantive to say about the state of cinema. Films are just one of the many things that we like to talk about on The Atlantic Voice. And while we do spend a lot of time joking around, there are moments when we do strive for a little more critical dissection. Like this discussion about the Tom Cruise vehicle Edge of Tomorrow. And yes, Eric does own the copyright to the phrase thinky sci-fi.
So, another trailer, which has French at the bottom for some reason. This may not have a lot of words, but it sounds good. I like the song, too.
The invasion will fail.
We lose everything.
How do I know this? I live the same day over and over.
Get down! Come find me when you wake up!
So, sci-fi Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow. So, and I saw a great article, I think, maybe on Grantland
Emily
or
Blunt.
Deadspin, where the movie...
Bill Paxton.
Yeah, the movie's based on, I think, a Japanese comic called All You Need Is Kill. And I read this article that said that was a much better title for a movie than Edge of Tomorrow.
Well, apparently, this might be right in the...
Was it in here or not?
Or was it in the Grantland
thing? No, I think it was in the Grantland thing. Anyway, it's Tom Cruise, and basically it is, as Eric says, it's a science fiction Groundhog Day where he plays this futuristic soldier who keeps waking up.
Basically living the same battle day over and over again, and each time he does it, of course, he's getting better and better at doing it. So by the end of by going through it enough times, he's a super soldier because same battle, he can practice. Emily Blunt apparently is somebody who... he believes this has happened to in the past. It's a little confusing from the trailer because she doesn't seem to be aware of it. But in any event, that's the plot line.
So it's like Groundhog Day, but with action.
Directed by
Doug Liman.
Liman, who did Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he also did the first Bourne movie, and he was an executive producer. He did Bourne Identity, and then he was an executive producer on all the others. And, of course, he's the director of Swingers.
Is he?
Yep.
Huh.
Doug Liman was director of John Favreau.
We never talked about there was an oral history of Swingers on Grantland. That was really good.
I want to make a comment here. Tom Cruise was in one of the films that we reviewed last year.
Oblivion.
And again, Tom Cruise doing sci-fi.
Right. We should give that type of sci-fi. It feels like...
It's
a unique type of sci-fi. It's more of like a minimal cast kind of, because Oblivion was the same way. There was like 3-4 characters basically. It's not like a big sci-fi movie like an epic type of thing. It's a local story.
Yep. You know something? I'm going to look at it. I see what you're saying. I'm going to look at it slightly differently. It's wannabe intellectual sci-fi. You have sci-fi where stuff's just blowing up and there's action and there's basically one time travel theme and you don't have to think too hard, but you kind of think that you're thinking. Edge of Tomorrow wants to be like Inception in terms of you've got to go in there. If you just want to see stuff blowing up, you're probably going to get that, but it's going to make an effort like Oblivion to try and deal thematically.
Be a little bit thinky.
My issue here with this, I'm not saying it's going to be good or bad. I do think it's going to bomb.
I don't think it'll bomb. Might not do fantastically, but I don't think it'll
Tom bomb. Cruise is no... I've never seen Tom Cruise as a sci-fi guy, first and foremost. And he's given it a good crack. The aforementioned Oblivion.
He's a Scientology guy, but not a sci-fi guy.
I thought he... They're very good, yes. I thought he was good in Minority Report. But ultimately, that's not sci-fi, that's Spielberg. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of... I don't know...
I feel like he's
no longer age appropriate for these movies.
That's true.
I
feel like he's got too much pull, and so he makes the movie move around him, Whereas he doesn't like go, ooh, how do I inhabit this role and do it its proper justice? Like, I think this would be a better movie. I have no idea who I'd put in that role. It's been a long time since we've done substitutes, but maybe after I see it, I will probably go see this movie.
Yeah. There you go. Someone like that.
He's picking somebody out.
Yeah, but I don't think Tom Cruise is age appropriate for this stuff anymore. Mm. And what I mean by that is, and I don't mean in terms of him, I mean in terms of his audience. The sort of people who roll into a Tom Cruise movie are now older. They're our age.
Yeah.
And summer movies are not aimed at us. They're aimed at the 12 to 24 year old. And I don't think Tom Cruise's
name, I'm not sure that's true anymore, but
I don't think Tom Cruise's name resonates with them in the same way it does.
No, I think there's a point there. I think you might be overstating it. I don't think they're relying only if they were really relying 12 to 22 year olds, these R-rated movies would do really badly because nobody be old enough for them. But
yeah, but they all sneak in because the fella at the gate goes, "I'll take your $8, go over there and buy the popcorn and the supersized drink." I mean, the ratings go out the window in the summer. Everyone's going in to see everything. I just don't think Tom Cruise is that guy that he used to be.
No, well, he's not. I mean, that's. I think this will be like Oblivion. Did you ever end up seeing Oblivion?
No,
I did, and it was good, but not great. It was, if you wanted to see a movie that had the same,
I suspect this film is gonna
a similar
be
twist to it. Moon with
Sam Rockwell.
Yes, that was great movie. That was really good.
Really enjoyed that.
That was real thinky sci-fi, whereas Oblivion was just kind of thinky sci-fi.
Yeah, but the difference with a Sam Rockwell movie thinky sci-fi.
That's what it is. It's a blend of explosive action-packed sci-fi and thinky. Because Moon was a pure thinky sci-fi. Exactly. There was no
essence smaller.
Whereas Oblivion
in its
was partly blow up and partly whatever.
I think the same thing is going to saddle Edge of Tomorrow. It's neither one thing or another.
So your predictions? You're going to go double bomb again? Because I don't know.
Give me your predictions while I decide what I want to do. Because I'll probably go and see it.
I always seem to go first.
I'll go first. Double. I'm going to go. It's going to make okay money like Oblivion.
There's no okay. It's yes or no.
Okay, double bomb.
All right, then.
I'm throwing double bombs everywhere.
Well, just to be different, I'm going to say financial success. I feel like this is going to be critical bad.
Okay. I forced you into a prediction there.
Well, yeah.
Fair enough.
Predictions. All right. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Drum roll, please. I predict that this year's Atlantic Voice Summer Movie Preview is coming very soon to a computer near you. So check your feed, check the blog, check however you listen to our show. It's going to be coming very soon. It'll be two parts once again, and we're going to cover all the summer movies. Also, if you have some time and you are unsure of how accurate we really are, go back and listen to our old preview shows from the last couple of years. And there's also a show that we did in November. I think it was called Summer Movie Scorecard, where we actually went back and totaled up a little test to see how accurate we were. And I suspect even this year, the scoring debate will emerge once again. Anyway, this has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph. Take care. Oh, and one more thing. That scoring debate, it just keeps on going and going and going and going.
We kind of discussed vaguely how we wanted to do this. I don't know if we want to get to the final scores and then make some interesting points about summer films or...
For people who haven't listened, and shame on you if you haven't, what we did on these movies is we kind of gave them a thumbs, or we were trying
we went further than that.
No, from the standpoint of prediction, because we said at the time we wanted to say who was going to be right and wrong, and so we... To simplify things, we were trying to say, listen, we would discuss all the nuances, but at the end of the day, we were both supposed to say critical success or failure, financial success or failure on each one of these movies. I will say that it was very hard to rein you in on those things. You did a lot of nuancing and edging, and you'll see when we say these things, like in your notes, you don't... Even in your notes, you've written up some notes for us based on that last podcast, and it's lots of hedging on your part. Not a simple up or down. It's like some things are bombs, and some things are mediums, and some things are whatever in between. So I'm not sure how to hash that part out. Moreover, what, you know, there's a big question. Well, actually, I'll let you respond to that, and then we'll talk about the judgment there.
No, stick with the judgment.
Okay.
Explain to our listeners, we were ranking the films based on whether they would be critically success,
right,
or financial success. And in the course of the summer movie previews, that you, again, you can go back and listen to, as we discussed the films, I wrote down what we were saying.
Right, but you didn't ultimately write down. First of all, you didn't, when you, it was your turn, a lot of times, you wouldn't simply say financial success, critical success. It was always some other twist on it or something like that that made it difficult to necessarily categorize it into those categories. Moreover, your notes say things that don't necessarily fit in with that.
I want to say this because what happened was I hand wrote notes during the show.
Mm-hmm.
I then took the notes home and transcribed them into a computer document,
mm-hmm.
which I have now brought back to the show this time. You were reading the computer document, and you believe that this does not accurately reflect the handwritten notes. Now, I admit, during the
handwritten... No, I didn't want it to... The handwritten notes, I remember when you were doing this, they made no sense at all. You were writing this stuff down.
But they made sense to me. It was like shorthand.
It doesn't make... A lot of things make sense to you and don't make sense to anybody else.
I'm going
to
actually pick out a couple of things. So for example, let me just pick a film at random. Million Dollar Arm with John Hamm. On the notes in front of me, it says... Z or Z, depending where you live, for me.
Right.
And I've written the words financial success, financial bomb, critical bomb.
Right.
That means that I think it was going to bomb financially and critically.
Mm-hmm.
You have said E, I have listed E for Eric, and then it says financial no, critical yes.
Right.
Which means that's a straight up or down.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I feel this accurately reflects what was said first time out and my notes.
Well, I'm taking your word for that.
I'm now looking at the film Hercules,
right.
And I've written for Eric, E, financial success, critical horrible.
Right.
For me, I've written Z, double tank. Now, who speaks like that normally? Nobody. So what I'm saying is the fact that I've typed the phrase double tank means that these electronic notes accurately reflect the handwritten notes that I gave.
But we don't. We wanted to reflect what we actually concluded.
Well, I felt that it would tank in both areas. And because I'd been tired of writing by 17 movies, financial success, critical, no, I just wrote double tank.
So
that was shorthand for financial, no.
Well, talking about is like at Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, where Zed says, not super hit, but not bomb.
Okay,
I don't know what that is.
Well, that means it's not a massive hit and it's not a bomb.
All right.
Because I don't think not everything in life is an either or all moment.
Right.
I want to work in shades of gray. Because reality reflects.
This is the only area in which I believe you want to work in shades of gray. But, okay.
Well, because I don't know if I'm going to be correct or not. So obviously I was hedging my bets a little bit.
Just like I said, hedging. I think I specifically used the word hedging in your decision. In the discussion.
But I was hedging. But what I'm saying is if the film either bombed or was a super hit,
mm-hmm.
then I will confess I was wrong. You seem to think there can only be two categories, up or down.
There are three
categories, up, down, and middle.
No, I don't seem to think that. That's what we said would be the case when we did it the first time around. This was the whole point, is how could we have our predictions? Thumbs up, thumbs down, it was going to be basic like that. Anyway.
Because I believe in thumbs across.
Which really brings us to the next big
thumbs
question on this.
Thumbs horizontal.
No, there's no thumbs horizontal. Okay. That was the zeal.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.